Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, cause Daryl's dead. Inside. Welcome back, everybody. I took that one and ran with it, Ben. Daryl is not dead, but boy, he sure looks dead on the inside. Let me rephrase that. Men don't eat worms unless they are dead on the inside.
As Linkin Park said back in 2000, crawling in my skin, these wounds, they will not heal.
Jesus, Ben, that is a weird pull. I'm impressed. Don't misunderstand my tone. I'm just confused as to the whereabouts of where that reference has been hiding in your soul.
Well, I'm just saying that for Daryl, you know, he's been emotionally dead for a while now, yes, but the death of Beth just
like
jams
Linkin
that
Park.
Fucker in there. Yeah, it's just like Linkin Park.
I couldn't resist that one. You know, a lot of people are going to – I haven't really looked, so I don't know what the consensus is. I'm sure that a lot of people found this episode boring. I, on the other hand, love these fucking episodes. I love them because it's just so full of these incredible visual moments and all of these incredible character developments without words. Ben, did you notice that they didn't say a word in the entire opening? Not a single word was spoken in the opening of the show. Mm-hmm. No words. And it was awesome. Okay. They're, you know, Maggie's fucking stabbing shit and Daryl's just being emo and fucking the new, now in back-to-back weeks, someone else is the new Lori. Welcome Sasha, everybody, to the new Lori front runners. Jesus Christ. What the fuck was her problem? She's a fucking disaster right now. She is just stabbing everything that moves. She's burying dead frogs? Something wrong with that girl.
She, you know, Abraham said, oh, you know, we're all friends. And she's like, no, we're not friends.
She didn't, and you even like, said damn. It nicer than she did. She was defiantly like, fuck you, Ginger. We are not friends. She was like, I don't know you. And if you died, I wouldn't care, is essentially what she said to his face.
Yes. So, them. Which is the title of the episode.
Oh, yeah. Where are Madness?
I am with you on this. I very much like this episode. And I had been looking at different people's reviews of it, and a lot of people do not like it. I can understand why, but I also think that, honestly, and if you're offended by this, I'm sorry. You know, just don't listen to us anymore. But if you're offended by what I'm about to say, then I'm sorry. But if you don't like episodes like this and you think they're boring, clearly you do not like plot and all you want is action. You need breathers in this show, because there was somebody that said, and I forget who it was. It was a bunch of random people on the internet that said, well, the first two seasons of The Walking Dead were awesome. And these, you know, ever since they had the governor in the prison, ever since then, it's been boring. And I'm like, are we watching the same show here? Because the first two seasons were fucking awful. Well, season one was okay. Season two was, meh. Ever since they got off of the farm, it has been kick ass. I mean, it amped it up. When they met the governor, that shit got insane. And then Terminus was not boring by any means. And now, no way. It shows, and I think a lot of people overestimate this, it shows what people watch movies for, what they watch TV shows for, and that is for the human connection. That is for to see that these people, in some degree that we believe, are real. We see them as real people, and we want to be able to relate to them, which is what Them did. Them was a very good episode because it shows that human emotion. It shows how people react to death, specifically Sasha, Maggie, and Daryl. Daryl reacted differently than Sasha. Sasha reacted differently than Maggie, and Maggie acted differently than Daryl. They all have their ways of coping, and I feel like people just overlook that and say, oh, it was a boring episode with no plot, no drive. Well, not until you get to the end and we see Aaron, but no, it was, I think the show ever since really they got off the farm has been phenomenal.
I mean,
and I think that this past episode was no exception to that rule. It was point on with where this season has been so far.
Yeah. I mean, I have nothing to add to what your beautiful soliloquy. Yes to all of the things.
To all of the things.
I mean, if you didn't like this last episode, that's probably because you weren't watching closely enough. Like, it's probably because you weren't really paying attention that closely. Look, I understand that the action ones are more exciting to watch. Like, I've seen the season 5 opener more than I've seen the Beth-only episode. But, you know, that's because on watching them a second time, those are more exciting ones to watch. Whereas, you know, watching the character, you know, this one that we watched this week, or that we had this week, I've already seen twice. That's probably all I'll see it. Like, that's 2 times as good. I don't need to watch that episode a bunch of times. It's unnecessary.
And
but I enjoyed it.
It's an enjoyable episode. And I mean, if you think that it's boring, then maybe this isn't the show for you.
What is the point of the show if not to show us how bad things have gotten? I mean, when you really quantify where they are in the show, I mean, they've been out there for over a year, and I mean, the world has continued to grow around them. Like, there's no food around anymore. Animals need us in the ecosystem. And then it was interesting that for feral, like, dogs that used to be pets are now just wild beasts again, because that is what you, there were so many beautiful parallels in this episode. Like, this episode was really, like, well written. Everything about it was just so elegantly done. I don't know how you couldn't like this episode. Like, what isn't fun to watch about Norman Reedus, who really is, like, just in another universe? Like, he's in another stratosphere in this part. Like, him sitting there smoking a cigarette and then putting it out into his hand, because that's the only way that he can, like, that he can get the emotions out of him to cry over Beth, because he realizes that it is tearing him apart. And that is the extreme to which he goes to stay with our people, is he has to put out a cigarette into his own fucking hand.
They have to stay within reality, even though their reality has been distorted for quite some time. And like I said, people, I think, really overlooked this. And you have to realize that this show isn't all mindless action. It never was mindless action. You know, there's a reason why certain things happen in this show. There's a certain reason why characters do what they do. And you need an episode where it can be conveyed properly. And we got a little bit of that, you know, before, you know, they had an episode, I think, in the first half that was like this. And I feel like you have these beautifully crafted scenes, these well-written episodes, and they get shot down because somebody didn't die, or they didn't kill enough walkers.
Sure.
And it's just like, well, no, because you have all these different things, obviously, between Daryl and Sasha and Maggie that are going on personally with them, but then you have Rick, and Rick really had to try and bring this group together, because they're all they're starving, they're dehydrated, they're exhausted, and Rick has this speech where he talks about his grandfather and says, you know, he asks his grandfather, you know, well, how many people did you kill in World War II? And his grandpa wouldn't, you know, answer him. And then he asked, well, did they try to kill you? And then he ends up saying to the group, he goes, that they are the Walking Dead.
He said it, the name of the show, he said it.
I'm like, it's over, folks. Go home now. It's not getting any better than this. He said it.
I like, you know what I can say is that there are plenty of deviations from the comics. Some that I like, some I don't like. I much prefer him saying the Walking Dead line on that episode than I do in the comic books. Because in the comic books, it's very aggressive. Like, he's shouting at the group. It's in a moment of very. It happens at the prison. And it happens before the governor, like, starts the war. So Rick has got his hand cut off. And, yeah, this was just much better. And it was much more subtle, because I think that's where it needed to be. And it made sense. If you don't like what they're doing right now, then I just don't know what to say to you. I feel like we're dwelling on that. We should get off that because we both think it was a great episode. So, Ben, let's forget the haters. Let's play a quick little, like, we'll play something like love. Tell me something that you love from the episode, something that you hated, and something that you just liked, and then I'll go.
Kind of put me on the spot real quick.
Yeah, you can do it, Ben.
Something that I loved, I think we brought up before, was, you know, the ways in which Sasha, Maggie, and Daryl were coping with their losses between Tyrese and Beth, with, you know, Maggie opening the trunk and just looking at the walker in there, and then she couldn't do it. You know, she couldn't kill it, so Glenn had to come over and kill it for her, and Daryl putting out the cigarette in his hand, and Sasha becoming very aggressive but very, you know, wild about it. Something I didn't like, I guess was, I don't know, I feel like this is kind of like, was in the show already, because, you know, Maggie was really irritated about this, and I thought it was kind of out of place, was Father Gabriel trying to, like, console her. And I just felt that was not really out of place per se, but just, like, I don't know where he thought he had the balls to go up and say that, because I understand that, you know, she just lost somebody, but he never even met Beth. And I just feel like if that was somebody else in the group, like, it would have made more sense, you know, if it was, you know, Glenn, I guess, or even Rick, or Carol. Somebody that actually met Beth, you know, worked with Beth, you know, knew her, and, you know, things like that. And Father Gabriel never had that experience. So I felt like that was kind of a little forced. Something that I liked, I liked the scene where they're pushing the walkers down the...
I laughed. Down the bridge. Yeah, I laughed too. Because I heard you... I can hear you smiling through the microphone. Yeah, I laughed at that too. That shit was funny.
And then Sasha does something. And I love the line from Abraham. He goes, well, the plan's dick now.
That dude says some of the... They write really cool dialogue for Abraham. That's why I hope he lasts for a while, because some of the shit he says is awesome. I like from earlier last season when, you know, when the sun is... when it's noon, we're tail lights. I think that's a cool as shit thing to say. He says some cool stuff, that guy. All right. I loved... the Maggie scene with the walker in the trunk. I don't really know if I know why. I just was, like, mesmerized by that whole scene. And then Glenn comes up and kills it for her. I don't know why. Like, it's not, like, a memorable moment. I just really loved that. Like, it was like she... Why did she want to reopen the trunk? I have a couple of theories. We don't have to talk about them, but I'm just curious what was she trying to open it for? Was she trying to kill it? Or was she going to, like, get in there with it and shut the trunk?
Well, because, I mean, some people alluded to the fact that might have been an allegory for her trying to commit suicide in the comics, but I don't think that's true.
No, sure. But I mean, it's something that had occurred to me. I mean, there was a reason for it. They were trying to tell us something about where she was at, and I have a couple of thoughts, but I really loved that scene, just in general. Them checking, you know, they're checking the cars for that. I really hated... I really hated that they were trying to do biblical allegories in the opening. So, like, they showed a locust trapped in a spider web, and then they showed the dead frogs in the dried up waterbed, which is the, you know, it's raining frogs, and then the locusts come, and then, you know, no rain for 40 days. And, like, I don't know. It was like they were trying to do a religious, I don't know. I didn't like that part of the opening, where it seemed like there were all these intentional shots to collate with the Moses story. And then something that I just liked was the introduction of Aaron. I thought that was a nice, like, it was a nice, we got a nice moment, and then something exciting to leave us wanting more.
Fair points all around.
What?
You said fair points all around.
Yeah, I just thought it'd be fun, do something a little different. Maybe we'll do it again next week so that you're not caught off guard, because I think it's good. Yeah. Something you love, something you hate, and something that you just liked.
That makes more sense to do that, you know.
Yeah, come on, Ben. No. We need to get you lighter on your toes.
I know. I need to be more spontaneous with things. But so also, what was really cool, and I think this is what I hated. actually, if I can really go on something I hated, was the storm that happened. Because when they go out the next morning and all the trees are down, I'm like, okay, if this was a tornado, that barn would be fucking gone.
Did you notice when they first walk out of the barn, there's a walker way off in the distance that's actually up in a tree, like impaled through his stomach, just flailing around? Did you see that?
No, I didn't catch that.
Oh my god, if you can watch it again, you should check that out. Because it's in the background. And they don't focus on it, but like right when they first walk out the door, it's like a panoramic shot of the horizon, and there's one way in the distance up in a tree, just fucking flailing around. I was giggling about that too. Yeah, that was extremely ridiculous. I guess I probably should have used that as the hate too. But I hated the Bible thing too. But again, that was kind of another biblical allegory, like the saved by the storm, like Noah or some like Noah's Ark type crap. I don't know. For whatever reason, I just felt like this whole thing had all kinds of religious, and then Father Gabriel burning his collar. It seemed like they were pushing the religious crap on us a little bit.
Yeah, just a bit.
And that storm was dumb. Like that was a herd of walkers, and all of those trees fell perfectly around that shitty, rickety ass barn. Killed all of the walkers in the herd, or at least kept them down, and everybody just took a nap.
Yeah, like it didn't. Like the barn didn't lose anything. There weren't like panels flying off of it. Everything was perfectly intact. I'm just like,
yeah.
Okay, if this was that kind of, if this was that bad of a storm, there would be some damage to that barn, I guarantee.
Yeah, and you know, they wanted to do like, I guess I get it. Because the moments that led up to it were really great. Like Daryl realizing that there was, and he tried to hold them back by himself. And then, of course, the next person to go up is Maggie. And then the next person is Sasha. It's all very, again, it's all very cyclical and another parallel. They're pretty good at writing at this point. And so, but that storm and then it having it kill all of the walkers is really, it was just kind of stupid.
It was a little too convenient.
Yeah. Now, like, they could have still done something where, like, the storm comes through, it, like, rips the roof off, everybody's okay, but then they just sleep in there with the roof off, and the walk. At least then I might buy what you're trying to sell me a little bit. Or, like, if a tree crashed into the barn, but it didn't come all the way in, like, it just came in through the sea. You gotta give me something. Like, that was a. There were a lot of trees down, and they were down everywhere. Everywhere that wasn't the fucking barn.
Yeah, it was a little bit ridiculous.
You're right, Ben. But I addend my hate. I really do hate that storm thing. Yeah. That was really fucking dumb.
And then last but not least, Aaron.
Yeah.
He is in the show now.
He is in the show now. And I think I'm nervous because we're in a very bad place right now. And like, they're going to go the comic route and they're going to get him there. But like in the comics, they bond pretty quickly. Like, they realize pretty quickly that Aaron's a good guy. And I saw the sneak peek for next week, and I was like, uh-oh. Like, they're gonna like, inadvertently pick a fight with some of the other people who are out scouting. Because I think they're gonna fire off that fucking flare gun to get them to come to them, which is so dumb. But it kind of, I got that impression from the preview. But anyways, Aaron is a good guy. I assure you, he is a good person, as far as the comics tell me. So this is exciting. This is a big change. Aaron is definitely going to change the trajectory of this entire motherfucking show.
Call my shot, though, because based on the previews of this show, obviously getting to Alexandria, there's some shit they run into. I guarantee you Noah dies.
Oh, I mean, we already know that. Noah's not getting out of this season. He doesn't want to be a part of the group. He doesn't think he's going to make it. That dude is boned.
He dies on his way to Alexandria. Yep. I'm calling my shot now.
And then right after they kill him, they will, you know, they'll bring back Morgan. I'm just saying. Diversity. Yeah. Diversity.
Well, they gotta have T-Dog 5.0 or something.
Jesus H. But Noah's kind of a worthless character. At least now he is. If Beth would have got out, it might have been different. But, nah. He's dead.
Well, no. Well, I don't know. Who do you think's more worthless, Noah or Father Gabriel?
Well, here's the interesting thing about Father Gabriel's bullshit. Father Gabriel took his collar and threw it in the fire. He doesn't do that in the comics. He's a religious man until now. Like, there's only one time in the comics where he ever, like, fights. But maybe they're going to make Father Gabriel something else. Maybe he is broken just like everybody else now, and he won't want to be a priest anymore. I think that would probably be good for him if he fucking nutted up. Maybe I wouldn't dislike him so much. He's kind of a wiener.
Yeah, he is.
He did get involved. He was involved in the bridge scheme, though. He was game for that. I saw him out there. He was game for the bridge situation. So maybe he's coming around.
We can only hope, right?
Eh, I don't really give a shit. I don't care the other. Doesn't matter. They're going to the Alexandria safe zone now, so they might lose Noah. We might have some unexpected injury. In fact, I imagine that will happen in order to speed things up.
And one more point before we wrap this up. People kept bringing up the fact that Sasha, and I don't know if this was really a big thing, but she might have nicked Abraham with her blade.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing is that in past episodes, they've had similar things and it hasn't been a problem. So
because here's at least my theory on it, and I think this might be the thing overall, and I just didn't know it, but they know the virus is inside of them.
Right.
But it's dormant. So even if they were to get cut by something, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to turn.
Right.
Because the virus has to be, I think, triggered, either through a bite or through death.
I mean, even if you just go back and think about Herschel, like when Herschel got bit, Rick had been killing zombies with his machete, and then he hacks off Herschel's leg with that machete, and Herschel was fine, as far as I recall. Like, in this environment, I think they've established that that isn't a thing. So
yeah, because people brought that up, and I'm like, well, it's because the virus has to be triggered somehow.
Like, in the comics, they don't really do anything with it until Negan decides during the war to dip all their weapons into walkers and get it all gunked up. But I think the difference there is that maybe they won't use that at all because it's flimsy. I didn't actually like it in the comics when they were doing it. I was like, I don't know that I buy that. Because even, like, when you go to stab, all the gunk is going to push out onto the exterior of their skin anyways.
Yeah. It'd be like what Rick and Glenn did when they were trying to get through Atlanta.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's dumb. He's fine. I wouldn't even worry about it. But she needs to get her shit together. Because she almost killed Michonne and she almost killed fucking Abraham, so she needs to get her shit.
Well, right. Didn't she also save Rick from getting bitten though?
Oh yeah, she did. Yeah, she did save Rick, and she shot those fucking dogs, which was awesome. She's just like, enough of this. Boop, 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 boop.
She went full fucking Rambo that episode. Yeah, she did.
And then I can't believe I've never been so excited to watch people eat dog meat before. And then last night I watched the fucking dog show. So I don't know, something's wrong with me. I think, you know.
Do I need to be concerned about Walter and Dewey?
No, they're fine. Dude, I'm not dying of starvation and thirst. That ain't gonna happen. So, but it was a really good episode until that fucking storm, that magical storm. And then Aaron just shows up. He's perfectly clean. He looks like he walked out of a fucking L.L. Bean catalog. And I'm like, what storm were you just in? I'd like to know. Because it's like, if they're... However far, I don't know how far, like, the Richmond, Virginia area is from Alexandria or where they are exactly. But, like, I don't think, at least from what I understand in the comics, like, he has been following them. So he just, like, set up camp somewhere, and he looks like he walked out of a catalog. So
maybe it's like in Harry Potter when they make those tents and they have, like, the giant hotels in them.
Yeah, that could be. I don't know. I liked his introduction. Like, it was the, but like, I could not shake that. Like, it drove me crazy. I was like, why does he look like, even if you have clean clothes, let's say, in the zombie apocalypse, like, they're going to be all wrinkled because you have to keep them in your bag. Like, is he in, I like, you can't have that many changes of clothes. So if you've been following them for a week or two, you're not going to look like a goddamn, like, fucking flannel shirt model.
Yeah, besides that, in the Deus Ex Machina with the fucking storm, I mean, it was a good episode, though.
The Deus Ex Machina? Yeah, now you know what it feels like. It hurts sometimes, doesn't it?
No, it's not that. It's just, it was weak.
Oh. Well, now I'm hurt.
Yeah. It was a little weak. I'm sorry, pal.
Well, if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can. At the News Shoe. Now my soul is crushed, Ben. You can also follow us on Facebook at the News Shoe with Ben and Lou. Let's see. What else? Please be sure to go over and say hi to the people at Porcupine Cookies. They don't sponsor the show, but we like them anyways. Please listen to our Oscar special. What a great time that was, Ben.
It was.
And we had wonderful guests. I mean, we're going to have to do it again next year because I just like it too much. And then you can weigh in on what a one past and future guest Don Pitch calls the crime of the century that Michael didn't get the clean sweep in the games. So just FYI, Ben, Don thinks that you were wrong in the tagline game. Anyways, that's a story for another time. Thank you for listening to The Chewing Dead. Ben, final words.
Be sure to tune in next week when we talk about the next episode called The Distance.